we going right to the sermon? I guess so, since the praise band is not up here. I'm always the last to know. Or I just didn't pay attention. That's probably more true. So, as I mentioned, we're going to talk again about light and dark and seeing versus not seeing. And so this is from John chapter 9, the whole chapter. And I've got to confess a sin to you all. If you receive the sheet coming in, you'll notice it's blank. That's because your pastor was very confused by this passage for today. And I crumpled up three different sermons this week, and I never got my notes in on time. So that's my fault. So I apologize. But you still have blank space to write stuff down. And so I got a couple things. Seeing versus not seeing. So I got a couple pictures here I want you to look at. The first one is this. Has anybody seen this? So let me ask you, who sees a younger woman? Who sees an older woman? So apparently, if you see a younger woman, that means you're young. If you see the older woman, that means you're old. And if you can flip-flop between both, can anybody see both? It takes me a while to see both, but I can eventually. So I got two more here. This one, does anybody remember this next picture? Who sees a black and purple dress? Or blue, whatever. But blue and gold or whatever. And the other one is, who sees white and gold? Wow, that's amazing. So there was a big debate about this when this came out in social media, what people saw in this picture. Some people see the blue and whatever, and some people see the white and gold. And the reason I'm saying different colors, because I'm actually colorblind. So those colorblind tests, I fail them every time because I don't see the numbers when you're supposed to. So the next one is this picture. Has anybody seen this one before? Who sees a duck? That's what I saw at first look. And who sees a rabbit? Can you go back and forth between the two? That means that if you can do that fairly quickly, that means you're very creative, by the way. And so I forget what it means if you see a duck first or a rabbit first, but these are those pictures. There's tons of them out there of where people see different things, and some people don't see what other people are seeing. And so that's the theme, really, of what we're going to be talking about today. And so there is an old saying that I'm sure you've heard is seeing is believing, right? Well, today we're going to see that this is not always true. And we are going to talk about a man that was born blind since the moment he was in his mother's womb. He has never seen his mom or dad. He's never seen the sky. He's never seen the ground. He's never seen his body. He's never seen his face. He's seen nothing his whole life. And so this man would hang out in the temple area in Jerusalem begging because that was the only way he could provide for himself because he was blind. And so many people, because this is the most busy area at that time in Jerusalem was the temple area, so many people would walk by this man and see him. And today I want to talk about, I think there's a difference between seeing something and really seeing. Does anybody get that, understand that? Because how many of those people that walked by this man really saw him? I want to ask a couple questions here. Who are the isolated or maybe the overlooked people in our world, in our country, in our own neighborhoods, or maybe even in your own family? Who can identify with this blind man? People seeing him, but not really seeing him. Have you ever felt that way, like that you're overlooked or that no one really notices you? And this is one of the things I love about this particular passage here in John chapter 9. In the very first verse, I have it up on the screen, as he, Jesus, passed by, John gives us the detail, he saw a man blind from birth. He saw him, and he sees you too. And that's the good news of this. Jesus didn't just glance at him and notice him, but he saw him. John felt the need to put that detail in there, that he saw this man. Let's go on. Verses 2 through 5. It says in John chapter 9, and his disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that the man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We get that again. I am the light of the world, Jesus tells us. So do the disciples see this blind man? No, they didn't really see him until Jesus stopped and saw him. And so it was at this moment that the disciples thought was a good time to ask a theological question of Jesus. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he remained, or that he was born blind? That's what they want to know. And so that was the prevailing thought of the day, that if something bad happened to you like this, you are being punished for some kind of sin that you've committed. But has that thought really disappeared? Have you ever thought about that before? Are we being punished for some kind of sin that we've done? We see this in our society with the false teaching. You'll see it on television, some of the television evangelists that preach the prosperity gospel, that God doesn't want you to be poor, and if you're poor, you must not be doing something right. See, God wants to bless you with earthly wealth and earthly stuff. That's not at all what the Bible teaches, by the way. And so if you aren't receiving those things, you must be getting punished for something that you've done. And you know what? Thank God. Thank goodness God doesn't operate this way, right? Because if we were to be really punished for our sins, we would all go to hell. And that's the truth of the matter. If we were really punished for our sins. But see, that's exactly why Jesus came. Jesus is the one that took the punishment for us. He took the punishment on that cross for us. He took the punishment of them flogging him and whipping him. And on Wednesday night, we talked about how they punched him and slapped him and spit on him. He took all of that punishment for us and our sins. And so Jesus answers the disciples' question. And he says that it's not either the parents' sins or the blind man's sins as to why he is blind. You see, they're missing the point, as usual, of what's going on here. The point here is not to get to the bottom of what caused this man's blindness, but instead to focus on the role of God in this man's life. To see God's work displayed in this man. And something amazing is about to happen to this man. And so this gets to the very nature of our God. And that's up on the screen for you. God doesn't seek the punishment and condemnation of us sinners. Rather, he seeks our salvation. So not only did he see this blind man, he saw this blind man who needed Jesus just as much as you and I. God works his will, his good and gracious will, through the things that happen in our lives. And sometimes it's hard to understand why some of the sufferings we have to go through. It's tough to understand that sometimes. But we were never promised in his word that it was going to be sunshine and lollipops for us Christians here on earth, right? And sometimes in the moment when we are suffering and we're going through something terrible, it's hard to see how God's working. But when you can look back on that moment, you can see how God was working through that to produce his good will. And like I said, Jesus here calls himself the light of the world, and it's good that we have this light to pierce through the darkness of our sin that we were all conceived with. Not only were we born with sin, from the moment we were all in our mother's womb, we were in this darkness. But the light of Jesus has shined through that darkness. So let's get to these verses 6 and 7 here. Having said these things, he spit on the ground, Jesus, and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. You know, Jesus heals this man in a peculiar way, doesn't he? Did Jesus have to spit on the ground and make mud? Of course not. But he's showing us something here very important. So Jesus spits on the ground. And back in those days, you know, saliva was really seen as kind of a curative thing. I don't think people really think that nowadays, right? I don't know. But I know dogs' tongues can help something. But anyway, so Jesus spits on the ground, makes this mud, puts it on the guy's eyes, and tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And John gives us a detail, by the way, which means sent. This isn't in there just for the fun of it. See, the Father, our Heavenly Father, sent Jesus into this world to save each and every one of us. And Jesus sent this man to that pool to not only receive physical sight, but to receive something much more important than that, which was his spiritual sight. See, anytime Jesus attaches his words to a visible element, like this mud that he made with his spit, amazing things are going to happen. And we just got to witness this morning with three of them right here. This is really showing us the importance of baptism when Jesus attaches his word to a visible element, the water. Three people receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Their sins are forgiven. They have been washed clean. They are now God's child, redeemed, wearing that white robe of righteousness as we all are. And by the way, if you have not been baptized, please let me know. But this is showing us that amazing gift that we have with baptism. And so the next thing on your sheets, if I would have got them in on time, the blind man in this event here, John chapter 9, symbolizes each and every one of us. You know, most don't share the physical ailment that this man had, which was blindness from the moment he was born. We don't share that, but we do share one malady with this blind man. And that's the spiritual darkness that we were all in before the light of the world came into this world and broke through that darkness. We were all indeed spiritually blind. And so the last thing up here on the screen, we can really see now, because Jesus fixed his eyes on the cross. And one of the passages in the Gospels that I love is, it says that at a particular moment in his ministry, Jesus set his eyes, like his face, like flint on Jerusalem. Because he knew this is why he came. Jesus had his eyes fixed on the cross from the start, because he knew that was his purpose and mission, was to save each and every one of us from that spiritual blindness that we all share. And that's how much he loves us. And this reminds me of my favorite verse in the whole Bible, and I have it up on the screen. It's Hebrews 12:2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, we can clearly see the finish line when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. But you and I all know that there's so many distractions. Think of yourself on a racetrack, on a track at the high school. All the distractions on your right and on your left that want to pull you off of that path. There's so many distractions, but the writer of Hebrews here is, fix your eyes on Jesus. See, this is where I'm saying there's a difference between seeing and really seeing, right? Keeping your eyes fixed. I think about fixing my eyes right on the goal and try to wear those things that horses do and try to avoid all this stuff. But you know, we all know we fail at this time and time again. But then we remember who's already finished the race for us. Jesus, who died for every one of our sins. And so you saw us light those baptismal candles from the Christ candles. We all share this light in us. And Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And we get to go out and share this light to those around us. That's our work. That's what we get to do, but that doesn't mean there's not going to be sufferings and problems and issues along the way. But remember, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.